Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And we are going in depth today with Pastor Paris Pasch of The Journey Church. We are always so happy when he or one of his fellow pastors stop in from the Hastings area as part of the rotation of the Hastings Ministerial Association. So it's great to see you. How have you been?
I'm actually doing real good, Mo. I'm coming into one of the big seasons of the church, so how could I be anything but chomping at the bit, waiting for a chance to tell people about Jesus.
You're excited. Tell us about the Hastings Ministerial Association. How are things going? I know that it was, a little bit of touch and go with the COVID pandemic, but now you're back meeting.
We've come through a long valley where different church traditions address the concern of COVID differently. Some felt like it was just really important to stay apart from one another. Some felt that they could move quicker to go in person. And we're seeing that starting to shift now for HMA, Hastings Ministerial Association. It's so good to see my colleagues. It's so good to have them back together. You know, we are a group of people who are pursuing friendship, collegiality, respect, admiration. I think what we found over the many years we've been together is that there are many more things that we have in common than we have that separate us.
And this is really unique. When I meet new pastors that come into Hastings, they all say, we don't look at each other's church as competition. We really just want Hastings to find a place to worship, the people of Hastings to really just find what is comfortable for them. I've heard from so many people that this is just a wonderful organization.
It really is. I'm honored to be connected to it. When I first got involved back in the 90s,
goes back a long time.
It was more of a small group of the larger churches that gathered together in leadership, and it worked fine. They did well. But since myself and a few others kind of jumped in, we were pastors of small congregations. That contingent now, the many small congregations in Hastings, is often represented at the Ministerial Association, along with the pastors of the larger churches. Couldn't be happier. Many of these pastors don't have opportunities for fellowship beyond their tradition. And this is a rare occasion, but we've fostered a good relationship there.
So I know you wanted to talk a little bit more about the big church, and as I think that's a great springboard, when we think of the greater church, a lot of times it seems like it's off in the distance.
Yeah, I'm part of something so much bigger than the congregation that I lead, the Journey Church. I'm part of something which is the church, and the Bible never refers to the Journey Church.
Oh, they don't.
And I'm really disappointed about that. But also,
I've seen the word journey, though, in the Bible.
Yes, it's in the Bible. But in the Bible, it only refers to the church. And you know, not one time, whether you use the Greek language or any other specific original language to work from, it never identifies that word church with a piece of real estate. It's never a building. It's never stained glass and steeples. It is always unequivocally connected to the people. So if we really chose the right word, we'd have to use the congregation. So the church is the congregation. Well, the congregation includes people that go to church A, church B, church C, church D, and go down the alphabet. So when I read my Bible, I learn about who the church is. And it's quite, I'll go so far as to say that I have been arrogant in my history as a 40-year pastor of thinking that the church is only referencing the small club that I'm part of. Only for God to bring me back to humility, to realize the church is the greater body of Christ, which includes many traditions of Christianity.
And why do you think that is an important piece of this?
Well, one, so I realize that I'm only carrying part of the load, that I share it with my brothers and sisters, that I don't have to be everything to everybody. I don't have to have all the answers for all of the questions. But it's also so that I stay in humility, realizing that I can only see part of it. So I need the rest of the church. I need my Baptist brothers. I need my Methodist brothers. I need my Catholic brothers and sisters. Please understand that I mean brothers and sisters. I need the whole family. And how do I interact with them? Now, some of us get kind of weird. I'll say some of us. We highlight and emphasize small things rather than emphasize main things. And what I try to do to the best of my ability is to drive our congregation, the church I lead, back to the Bible so they can get the information from the leader of the church. The Bible itself says that Jesus, not Paris, is the head of the church. Jesus, not whoever the name you want to put there, no figurehead, is the head of the church. Jesus, not the denomination, is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. It says he will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against that church. So, the Bible. How do we help people get their information as close to the horse's mouth as possible? Most of us have played the telephone game, where if you tell me a secret and I whisper it to Dan,
you better
in the other
not.
And I whisper it
That's
to
why
Dan.
I'm not telling you any secrets, Ferris Bass.
And I tell it to Dan.
I don't
in the
want
other
Dan
room,
to know.
Likely Dan is going to get a version of it, not the exact truth. But I may have colored, I may have given
well,
a little
sure
commentator.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure.
Yes. Because I heard the story a certain way. But the more I can drive people back to you
right.
to hear it firsthand, the same thing is true here. The more I can drive people back to know their Bible, how
but don't
can
you
they
think
it?
You still can interpret it differently?
Absolutely. I would use, instead of the word interpretation,
okay.
I would use the word the more I might emphasize a portion of what I read.
Okay.
So in our church, we love singing loud music. But you know, the Bible doesn't really say that that's the most important thing. It does say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I can qualify for that. But sometimes we will emphasize the value of having harmonies, parts sung, all of that, or a certain style of instrumentation, or you don't have a pipe organ? Wow, bummer for you guys. Well, actually, I have a voice organ. That's what I'm using. So anyway, if we take people back, yes, we're going to have emphasis, but the more I take them back to that original language, that original text, for that matter, I'm not a genius. I'm not the brightest bulb in the box. So I try to keep it as simple as possible, as plain as possible, as clear as possible, where you have to work at it not to understand what the Bible just said. I don't look for the most cryptic portions of Scripture either. I look for the most blatant black and white portions of Scripture and try to say to people, this is relevant to your Tuesday, your Thursday, even your Sunday.
Isn't it amazing though, really?
Oh, man. Yes. Now, got to keep in mind, the creator of the universe inspired men and women to write down these words. Now, you have to believe that. But actually, the Bible itself says, when you come to God, you have to believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's right in the Bible. So what do we need to do? We need to look for him. We need to realize he's not against us. He's for us. And we need to realize that he does exist. Just because you don't think he does, doesn't mean he disappears. He exists, even though you don't believe it. It's the fallacy of man and the arrogance of man that negates the presence of a supernatural God. And God wrote it down through the hands. Yes, I get it. A bunch of people wrote it down. They were inspired by God. The Bible's been the most tested document on the planet, only to be found the most legitimate, the most skillfully scribed, the most accurate book ever written, bar none, compared to all the ones that you can dream up. I trust it.
Do you think that you should start at the beginning of the Bible, or would you recommend starting with a certain book? Or I personally think the Psalms are easy to understand.
Yeah, great. A fantastic question.
Because it can be daunting if you don't really start in the right place.
I don't encourage people to read from leather to leather, from cover to cover. The reason being is that isn't the way it was organized. It was organized in a way that gave us two separate time frames, the Old Testament time frame and the New Testament time frame. I would encourage people to get as close to the Savior as possible. So I'll often tell folks, you know what? Open your Bible to somewhere, get to the New Testament. Start there. Put your feet in the sandals of Jesus. So you'll start in the Gospels. Those are the ones that introduce you to the Savior of the world. After you've read through those, then you can go back to the Old Testament. Psalms is a wonderful place. There, the easiest thing to do is flip your Bible in half. When you get there, you'll find Psalms. Start there. But you can start reading the Old Testament after you see what God's saving plan was through His Son. And now you'll start to read about what God's hand was in creation. So that's a really wonderful question. And most people pick it up as either a textbook or as a novel.
Right.
They misread it.
Well, so, only because I don't think we're told how to read
correct,
it.
Correct. And consequently, what happens is they'll get into it and start to read it simply as a history book and get overwhelmed by it. And never make it
to the good news.
And you and I are told that we're supposed to take the good news to the people around us. Well, the good news is Jesus. The fastest way to get to him is to start in the Gospels. Most will say, start in the book of John. Why? Because it's the love book. It immediately introduces you to how much Jesus loves you. That's great counsel. I don't discourage people from that. But the Gospels, yep, New Testament.
And so when you first are introducing this, what are some of the other insights that you want people to get and take away?
You know, when I talk to people about the Bible, it's really so that they can understand what the will of God is. We already have a will. We've been using it our whole lives. And it isn't necessarily a biblical will. It's a will formed and fashioned by our life experience. Mm-hmm. We learn to protect ourselves. We learn to fear. We learn to escape. We learn to become angry, we learn what we think happiness is. And all of those things are shaped by the wrong source. So my encouragement to people is you need a biblical worldview. And so how do you get that? You got to go into your Bible. How do you know what God's will is? How would you, unless you read what he said? How would you know? Get to the horse's mouth as fast as you can, read the Bible, and then trust that as you've read the Bible, it's starting to shape you. It's starting to change your thinking, starting to help you understand who God really is. God is not far off, angry, throwing problems
waiting
in front
for you
of
to
you.
Make a mistake.
Exactly. He's not interested in that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, see, you won't read that if you start in Genesis. But if you start in John, you'll read that in chapter 3. Right out of the blocks, you'll read that. There's a scripture verse that I'd like to just share. It comes in the book of 2 Timothy, which is in the New Testament, in the epistles written by the Apostle Paul. And it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. So it just says, get in your Bible. Now here's another shortcut to knowing what the Bible says, to knowing what God's will is. Meet someone who knows God better than you, somebody who's practiced, somebody who's read their Bible, somebody who's actually lived out a biblical worldview in their real life, and just poke at them. Ask them questions.
How will you know who to mentor off of?
I would say when you ask someone a question about the Bible and they simply fire back an opinion rather than referencing the Bible, that's a good flag on the field. Look for somebody who references the text, doesn't have to be an expert, but somebody, maybe they don't know exactly where it is right now, but they will find it so that you can go back to the text and read it for yourself. It's not their version of it. It's not their interpretation of it. It's not their emphasis in it. They take you right back to the text so you can go back and go, huh, it actually does say that. And so I can trust that and put it into my life.
So you are actually going to be bringing this to light in the next few weeks.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about your messages leading up to Christmas.
I've got a message for each week that is kind of an unfolding. I love that in series approach, you unfold the message. Doesn't mean that they don't stand alone. You could come to any service and you'll get something out of it. But what it does mean is they're like building blocks, and we're building to that wonderful celebration of the birth of Christ. So I'm going to be talking about Jesus. He came as a servant. Then Jesus, he is the King. And then Jesus, he is the Savior. And if we get all that understood from the Bible, not my emphasis, not my opinion, not even my commentary on it, but we use a lot of Bible verses at the Journey because I'm trying to inspire these folks, go home and find out if your pastor is blowing smoke at you, or is this the real deal? Did he get it from the source, or did he get it by the telephone game? And you're getting a version of it. I want them to see it black and white. So we put the scripture verses up on the wall. People read it while I'm reading it out loud. They see that I'm not twisting or turning or shifting or shuffling. I'm just reading it. It's that simple for me. So it should be that simple for everybody else in the room.
And when can we hear your messages, please?
You know, I have the privilege of being given the opportunity to preach every Sunday morning at the Journey Church on 4th Street in the Art Center at 9:30 in the morning.
And then also on Christmas Eve, you will be celebrating at 4:30.
Yes, at 4:30, we've got a special Christmas Eve service. You're going to hear the glorious story of Christmas from Scripture. We're going to use a little bit of a paraphrase, so it's going to be real fluid and real kind of almost more of a dramatic reading. And then we're going to interlace that with really appropriate songs that fit right in the Christmas story. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I think people will enjoy it. It'll have some, it'll be really engaging. So I think you'll enjoy it.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you so much. Pastor Paris Pash of the Journey Church, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.